This is John Robles. You're listening to an interview with Maryam Al-Khawaja. She's the acting president for the Bahrain Center for Human Rights. Can you give us a little bit of information about what's going on down there in Bahrain with the activists?
What we've seen lately is definitely an escalation in the attacks on human rights defenders. Today there were several protests in several different areas in the country, and my colleague was hit by riot police. He wasn't hurt too bad, but several people were injured, and one person was critically injured because he was shot with a tear gas canister in the head. But most activists are getting arrested and put in prison. For example, the president of our center is currently in prison as well.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your center?
The Bahrain Center for Human Rights was set up in 2002. Basically, what the Bahrain Center does is it covers all kinds of human rights violations that take place inside the country. So we were one of the first centers in the Gulf region to actually start a migrant workers group. Mm-hmm. And we also work on women's rights and different rights inside the country. And recently, our main job, of course, has been covering the violations committed by the Bahraini government.
I talked to your president, I guess it was about a year ago, regarding the United States supplying the Bahraini government with weapons that they were using against civilians. How long has your president been in prison? What has he been charged with?
The first time he was arrested was in the beginning of May. Nabil Rajab was arrested on his way back from Lebanon to Bahrain, and he was kept in prison for about 3 weeks, and then he was released. And then in the beginning of June, he was rearrested, and he's been in prison since then. Mainly, the charges against him is things that he writes on Twitter.
Have you had any similar problems yourself?
I don't live in Bahrain at the moment, and I can't go back because I'd get arrested, and that's why I've been able to stay out of prison.
What's going on with the activists right now that have been detained, and what were they charged with?
There's a whole different range. So you have activists who are being charged with things like illegal gathering. There are activists who are being charged with things like writing on Twitter. For example, the former president of the Bahrain Center, who's Abdelhadi Khawaja, he was arrested last year and tortured severely, and he was actually charged with taking part in a terrorist organization and attempting to violently overthrow the government.
This was because of his activities with the Bahrain Center?
This was because he's a human rights activist. Basically, I think in the Arab region or the Middle East and North Africa region today, the worst threats to these regimes is they're not the political activists or the people carrying the guns. It's the human rights activists because, you know, when it comes to human rights, black and white, the government is either doing the right thing or not. And so they don't have any justification. So they're really going after the human rights defenders now because they view them as being the worst threats to their authoritarian regime.
What's going on right now with the medical workers?
Well, of course, the medical workers were arrested last year. They were tortured, and then some of them were sentenced between 1 year and 15. And then because there was a lot of international pressure, they actually sent them to an appeal. And the court a few weeks ago actually sentenced 9 of them between 1 month to 5 years imprisonment. And their only crime, or what the government considers a crime, is that they treated injured protesters.
What were they supposed to do? Just let these people die?
Yes, of course. I mean, when it comes to people who speak out against the government, these are not people who deserve to live. And so either they kill them on the streets or they injure them and then ask doctors not to treat them.
Just a reminder, you're listening to an interview with Maryam Al-Khawaja. How many people would you say have died in Bahrain since these crackdowns began?
At least 70 people have been killed in Bahrain since the beginning of the uprising. Of course, if you look at Bahrain per capita, that's a very huge number because the population of Bahrain is between 600,000 and 700,000 people. Right. And so if Bahrain had the same population as Egypt, we'd be looking at more than 11,000 people killed today. Bahrain has also had the largest protest in what is called the Arab Spring because almost 50% of the population took part in the protest. So again, if you're going to compare it to Egypt, it's like saying 40 million Egyptians came out on the street and protested against the government.
Is there any possibility that the situation may change for the better, that there may be a regime change?
Well, I think that as long as the Bahraini government has immunity internationally just because they're a Western ally, then no, I don't think that we will see change anytime soon. And Western governments talk about human rights and democracy and their support for that. They need to actually implement what they say. Right now, they're not. Right now, they go according to interest. So if it's in their interest to support human rights and democracy, then they will. And if it's not in their interest, then they don't. And in Bahrain's case, they're not supporting it.
What do you think people internationally can do to help your people there in Bahrain?
Yeah, definitely raising awareness helps the case in Bahrain because there is more or less of a media blackout as well when it comes to the Bahraini situation.
Yeah.
There are countries in the world where people's votes matter, like in Europe and other places. And so it's really the populations that can convince their governments that they need to do something about Bahrain. So mobilizing people inside these countries who can then tell their governments, well, if you don't do anything about Bahrain, if you don't stop your double standards, then we won't vote for you in the next term, I think can really bring about a change.
What's the government system right now in Bahrain?
Bahrain is an absolute monarchy. Basically, the the king is the head of all of the different authorities in the country, and he basically decides everything. So he's above the law, above the constitution. And people who work within the Bahraini regime are completely immune, which means that they can torture, they can kill, and they won't be held accountable for it.
What would be a typical day for a Bahraini citizen?
Well, Bahrain right now, basically you have protests every single day. So every day there are people out on the streets demanding human rights and democracy and dignity. Usually at night what happens is the riot police go into different residential areas and tear gas people for hours, whether on the streets or even inside people's homes. So they'll actually go up to a window, break it, and shoot tear gas inside the house. And then there's these, all these families who basically every night just try to keep their children alive so that they don't suffocate to death because of the tear gas. And this is happening almost every single night. And that's more or less the daily routine for Bahraini families today.
Do you see any change in the near future?
The Bahraini government right now isn't going to change anything because they think that they can continue to commit human rights violations and there won't be any consequences. So they don't really have a reason to create any change. And that's why I said without the right international pressure, things won't change in Bahrain, which makes, of course, the situation very difficult. The message right now that's coming out of Bahrain right now isn't, you know, calls for help from Bahraini people to the governments of the world because they've lost hope in the government. Their calls right now is for the people. It's calling on people like you and me to, you know, come out and say something and support the Bahraini protest movement to demand more rights and liberties. And so it's really a humane call to different people around the world to please come out and support people in Bahrain.
Is the United Nations involved in any way with your organization?
I'm in Geneva at the moment, and I was attending the 20th session for the Human Rights Council. Unfortunately, right now in the world, we don't have a single institution that's not politicized and that actually implements human rights for implementing human rights. And so even the UN Human Rights Council is very much politicized, and because Bahrain and Saudi Arabia have a lot of friends at the Human Rights Council, it's very difficult to get anything on Bahrain done. For Bahrain, you know, we haven't even had consistent statements condemning the human rights violations, so even the bare minimum hasn't been done by the international community for the situation in Bahrain.
And you're saying this is all because the Bahraini regime is pro-Western and they're backed by the West?
Definitely that, and especially because they're very close friends with Saudi Arabia, which is playing a huge role in the keeping Bahrain protected from any kind of consequences internationally.
Okay, well, thank you very much for agreeing to speak with me.
No problem.
You were listening to an interview with Mariam Al-Khawaja, the acting president for the Bahrain Center for Human Rights. Thanks for listening.